This story is one of the tough stories, of which there are many in the Gospel of Luke. But it is initially very strange. So I would suggest that you simply tell it as strong and harsh as it is. This is the beginning of Jesus' travel journey up to Jerusalem, which is the central section of the Gospel of Luke, and is a drawing together of a whole series of stories and teachings that are not always clearly related to each other. They're not part of any consistent theme, but this journey is the overriding framework for the story prior to Jesus' arrival in Jerusalem. And this story is introduced by that motif, when the days drew near for him to be taken up. So this is an allusion to his ascension that will happen in Jerusalem, where he will, after his death and resurrection, be exalted to a place of power and authority. The initial framework of the story is then of his being rejected by a Samaritan village. So the motif of the story is that Jesus sets his face to go to Jerusalem and sends messengers. In Greek, the word is angelos. He sends angels ahead of him to prepare the way. That was a good idea if he was going through Samaria because of the depth of hostility that existed between Jews and Samaritans. That's reflected in the parable of the of the Good Samaritan. It's also reflected in the widespread and long-term tradition of people going to Jerusalem from Galilee who would not go through Samaria, but would rather go across to the east side of the Jordan and go down and then cross the Jordan at Jericho and go up to Jerusalem. So the history of hostility between Jews and Samaritans is in the background of this story. But Jesus is going through Samaria, and when he arrives at this village, the village would not receive him because he was going up to Jerusalem. So they responded with the same kind of hostility that was being expressed on both sides of this conflict. The Samaritans were the descendants of the northern kingdom of Israel that had been occupied by the Syrians in the 8th century when the northern kingdom was defeated and integrated then into the empire of Assyria. There was a policy of the Assyrians of intermarriage. And so the Samaritans both were ethnically separate from Jews and also formed another interpretation of the religion of Israel that was expressed in a separate temple, separate traditions that continue to this day. It's a very small group. But the Samaritans were a major group in Jesus' day. The James and John's response to Jesus, "Shall we call down fire on them?" was a typical response of anger. And so it is spoken in anger and the desire to inflict punishment on them for this insult of refusing to receive Jesus. It recalls the story of Elijah in 1 Kings 1:10 through 12 of Elijah calling down fire on two companies of 50 soldiers who had been sent by the king Ahaziah to inquire of Elijah whether he would live. Ahaziah had fallen through a lattice work and had been seriously injured. And he also sent messengers to Baal-zebub, the god of Ekron, inquiring whether he would survive, and Elijah was furious about that, sent back messages to the king. Is it because there is no God in Israel that you go to inquire of Baal-zebub? So when Ahaziah then sent two companies of 50 soldiers, a captain and his 50 men, twice Elijah called down fire on them and consumed them. So James and John are then responding in the tradition of the disciples of Elijah. Jesus rebukes them and disassociates himself from this tradition of revenge. This is part of his training of his disciples for their future mission. They are not to respond with hostility, with revenge against those who reject them or who oppose them. So that is clearly indicated by Jesus, that it is not his way. And so in telling this, it is fully appropriate to say, and he rebuked them. There is no compromise on Jesus' part in regard to this desire for revenge and violence in relation to enemies, both the Samaritans and, in the Elijah tradition, those who are representatives of the king. The next part of this story is the story of three young men who offer to follow Jesus. And in each instance, they want to have a modification of the rigor and extreme commitment that Jesus requires. So the first one says, "I'll follow you wherever you go." And Jesus makes clear what that will mean. It means radical discipleship. No shelter, no home, no family. Even animals have it more comfortable than Jesus' disciples, who has no place to lay his head. The second asks that he may be able to go home and bury his father. This was a broadly held tradition throughout the community of Israel. Every other Jewish sect required participation in a parent's burial. So Nazarites, priests, the high priest himself were expected and required to be present at the burial of parents. Jesus then names discipleship as meaning even this most basic tradition of family ties is not to take precedent over the commitment to the kingdom of God. The third description is another allusion to Elijah traditions. He asks if he can go home and say goodbye to his parents, to those who are in his home. And Jesus says, no. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God. This is another allusion to the Elijah traditions. When Elijah puts his cloak over Elisha, thereby inviting him to become his disciple, Elisha begs him that he may first go home and kiss his mother and father goodbye. And Elijah permits him to go and do that. Jesus does not. And so in this dimension, Jesus is even more rigorous than Elijah in relation to the depth and intensity of commitment that he demands of his disciples. These stories are about the cost of discipleship. Following Jesus means resolute determination, sacrifice of security, filial duties, family affection. Those are to take second place in relation to the commitment to the kingdom of God and to following Jesus. So this is a story to be told in the spirit of Jesus stating the realities. There's no hostility in this, nor is there the kind of, military toughness about this. But there is, in this, clear statements without any modification or qualification of the requirements for following Jesus and being a disciple of the kingdom of God.